trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time. We kick off hour number two. This segment brought to you by MyBookie, the official sports book of Fan Run Radio. MyBookie going to be your March Madness headquarters for betting here with Fan Run Radio. And you can get an early start with all the games this weekend. Tons of games on the schedule. I mean, Tennessee will probably be a slight dog, I would think, in this one tomorrow.
Yeah, seems like it. So what'd you say, 3 points by KenPom?
69-66.
Seems like that's been right around every game we've played lately. They think that's going to be high mid-60s.
I think that's the exact score I predict against Alabama, too, which sticks out in my
mind. It was 69-68.
It's a three-point game. Wasn't it?
No.
No.
It's a one-point game. It was a four-point game, and they hit the three. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Trying to give you credit.
No, it's fine.
No, you're arguing with me when I...
No, I knew he got it right. Like, you just
didn't know.
I don't mind.
I was just letting you know.
I'd rather know the future than remember the past.
I mean, I feel like I've been pretty good lately.
I mean, that's a great this or that, right? Like, you can't remember anything from the past, but you know the future? Or vice versa? Like you get everything wrong in the future, but you have perfect memory of the past? Like, you never... lose your
keys. I feel like knowing the future would be pretty beneficial.
But then you can't remember anything ever.
Yeah, but...
If you know the future and then, like, gamble and make a ton of money, but then every experience you have with that money, you can never remember it. Maybe we'll table that for later.
A.J. Lawson is South Carolina's leading scorer at 14 points a game.
Man, they were hating on him early in the year, their fans.
Because he was bad?
Yeah, I think it was after the South Carolina game. I saw people... tweeting about it.
After the South Carolina game?
With Tennessee, the Tennessee-South Carolina game. For the first time.
Yeah, this is, I don't know, statistically, I mean, I'm not surprised that the scores that they're predicting are basically just like every other score they've predicted for Tennessee lately, because it seems like this is what has been happening. Tennessee runs into a team that is a little bit better offensively than they are, but Tennessee's better defensively than a lot of teams in the conference.
That was the John Fulkerson charge, right?
Yes.
2 seconds left?
Yes.
I think that was A.J. Lawson who committed the charge.
Oh, really?
I think so. Mm. So in the video tweets underneath, you know, the South Carolina fans were like, "Guy, he's not playing well."
Tennessee is 317th in points per game.
Can't throw in the ocean.
317 out of 332. Is that right?
I thought it was like 353.
353. Okay. But they're 24th in points allowed. Pretty top good. 25 scoring defense for the Vols, allowing only 62.1 points per game. That's why I wondered, like, against Arkansas, did you find a little bit of offense there when you score 82 points? I don't know.
That's why I'm not worried about next year having an inside presence. Because if this team this year can defend, now obviously it's a big if with Pons coming back, but if Pons comes back, like, this team on the defensive end next year are going to be lights out. You add those guards. Because on offense, you get to pick how you shoot, how you try to score. This team's already good in defense. Add those guards in. Oh, baby. I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, but.
We didn't look good defensively against Reginald Perry, or whatever his name is. Is it Reggie Perry? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Might need a big to stop the big. That's the only thing I'd say. Need a big to stop someone else's big. They don't have to be a great offensive threat, but we need a defensive big.
Okay.
He should be first team all SEC, though.
No, I know, but I'm just saying.
He's really good.
Washington and Nick Richards kind of ate you up down there, too. Literally ate Vescovi when they threw him on the ground and then got a dunk.
Who's Washington?
I meant Montgomery.
Okay. Yep. Just checking. He said P.J. Washington earlier.
Yeah.
Montgomery and Richards.
Nick Richards. My bad. It's Valentine's Day, man. Cut me some
slack. Is Austin Wiley good enough to give us trouble at Auburn?
Yeah.
He's athletic enough for sure, yeah.
That whole team's athletic enough.
I don't think he's like a dominant post presence.
What about Blackshear? Is he going to be a problem?
Yes.
But he doesn't play in the post as much as you would think because he's so versatile.
So we got the two games with Auburn, Kentucky, and
Florida.
Florida with big guys.
Yeah.
That
I think Mike White has really done damage to Kerry Blackshear's.
It's what he does, man. No, he has a great roster and just doesn't know what to do with it. He recruits for a different style of basketball than what he plays. It's just what he's always done.
So weird.
It's very odd.
Well, tomorrow in SEC play, I mean, you'll talk about some big bubble matchups. Mississippi State at Arkansas, Bud Walton Arena, 1 o'clock SEC Network.
They call that the Egg Bowl or no?
What? It's Arkansas.
I'm sorry. I thought you said Ole Miss.
Ole Miss is at Kentucky, 2 o'clock on ESPN, Rupp Arena.
Upset alert. I'm going to go ahead and put Kentucky on upset alert.
At home?
Mm-hmm. Ole Miss has been playing pretty well lately.
Tyree's been unbelievable.
40 points against Mississippi State. That was the Egg Bowl. That was when he scored 40. Do they call that the Egg Bowl?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know, though. It could be wrong. Georgia, Texas A&M, 3:30, snooze. 4 o'clock, LSU at Alabama on ESPN2. 6 o'clock in the Battle of Tennessee Has-Beens, Auburn at Missouri.
No upset alert there for Auburn.
6 o'clock, Tennessee at South Carolina. Of course, it's going to be on SEC Network, so plan accordingly. And then at 8 o'clock, Vanderbilt travels to Florida.
There is a dud coming for Auburn, though. As I said yesterday...
You think they're due one?
Well, they've only lost 4 games in the past, 36 or something?
Mm-hmm.
Or 36-4 or something like that, yeah. However, 3 of those 4 losses, they've just got crushed. Alabama beat them 83-64. Florida beat them 69-47.
And aren't they in, 4 out of 5 games recently have gone to overtime? They got to be wearing a little thin, right? Running out of gas?
Kid hurt his hamstring late, too.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Who was that?
I don't remember.
He was in late. Important player. But, yeah, I don't know what the status
was
update
it McCormick?
Is.
McCormick?
Maybe. He'd been their go-to guy down the stretch. In regulation. Well, they're at Missouri, then at Georgia. Do you think it's going to be either one of those two games?
Maybe.
No.
We need it to be Tennessee.
We know which one.
We're close.
Have they lost at home?
No.
Can they lay an egg in the jungle? Is that a thing that's going to happen?
They haven't lost at home since February the 23rd. Nope. I take that back. February the 13th, so it's been a full year.
Congrats to them.
They've made it 366 days without losing at home.
Okay. The matchup predictor for that one has Auburn as a 76.8% favorite. Not great. Not great odds, but odds.
Yeah, it'll change.
One out of 4.
We beat South Carolina, Vanderbilt, get all tuned up, ready to go.
Yeah, tune-ups.
They'll be weary from their road travels to Missouri and Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll just have to gut those two out.
2 more overtime games, you think?
Nah.
No.
As long as their starters just have to play the whole time, I'll be happy. I kind of want them to win both of those. I don't want Bruce Pearl to have a nice little reset because they laid an egg at Georgia, and he's like, guys, this is my old team coming in here. We got to reset the board.
Apparently it was Okoro.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Who does start for them and averages 13 points a game? Isaac Okoro.
He was, I think, if I remember correctly, they were actually running offense through him on the previous 2 possessions.
Okay, I have seen 3 mock drafts where he's in the top 10 picks.
Okoro?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah,
they are very high on him as far as, especially he's not done a ton in college, but they think his game will translate very, very well.
I'm seeing it right now. John Henson. Was doing some projections, has him as the 8th pick, Isaac Okoro. Pretty impressive.
I saw one, I don't think this will happen, but they had him as high as 3. They had him going 3rd in this year's draft.
Okay. I'm trying to see if there's been an update on his status. I just remembered the Chuma Okeke knee injury last year and how devastating that was for Auburn. They ended up that was against North Carolina, right? And they still won.
No, it was after that.
They won the game. He got hurt though.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, and then they kind of said we're doing this for
Chuma. It was between North Carolina and Virginia.
Kentucky, wasn't it?
Was it Kentucky?
It happened in the Kentucky game, and they went on to win.
Let's see here. Bruce Pearl called the injury a, quote, pulled hamstring.
All right. Sounds accurate. That's what it looked like on TV.
That's all I got. There's really nothing else. I don't know if he's out tomorrow or what.
Well, I mean, what he's got, how many games does he have left?
7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
No, I just meant to the Tennessee game. Oh. The first Tennessee game.
2.
I mean, he should be, even if he comes back, I don't know, might not be 100%.
Said yesterday he did not practice, and it's definitely too early to know how long he'll be out. So he's just out now. Not day-to-day, he's just definitely out. Indefinitely, definitely out.
You're right. I'm sorry. He got hurt against North Carolina. They beat Kentucky, I guess, without him. Completely without him.
That's right.
Which shocked me.
Let's see. Here's what Pearl went on to say about Okoro. I doubt he practices tomorrow, which would be today, and that will determine if he can go on the trip to Missouri. We are still uncertain. These things can be. I don't want to put the number of days or weeks they could be. I'm not trying to be tricky with it. Every hamstring pull is different. Some are longer versus shorter. As far as
shorter.
Where... Oh, yeah. Some are longer versus shorter as far as where it is. I did not misread that. They mistyped it. As far as where it is on the muscle, and they all heal very, very differently. Fortunately, we have a good training staff and medical staff. Yeah, our guys will know what to do, then know how to treat it. Of course, he'll be cautious and not use him until he is healthy. Even in the win against Alabama, before he went down, he had 19 points and 9 rebounds.
I'm telling you, they were going through him late in the game, and then he dove for that loose ball and came up.
It was really weird. It didn't look like much, but yeah. he was not happy.
We'll come back writhing with more. In pain. It's hour number 2, 3 and out, Friday edition. Stick with us right here on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios, Fan Run Radio. Got to pick up some Truly Hard Seltzer for
I picked up some last night
of basketball and of course XFL football, Houston.
Yes, Houston.
Are you ready for the weekend?
Hey, ready to get this dub over your junk squad, PJ Walker, Heisman.
Yeah, that's wrong league.
No, they're gonna give it to him anyway.
I really am excited for the games this weekend. It's nice to have, I don't know, in a weird way, just having some football on makes me feel even more excited to talk about Tennessee's football stuff going on.
There's quite a bit.
Even though their season's obviously miles and miles away.
I wouldn't say miles and miles.
Nah. Feels
I mean, spring practice is going to start in a month.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's like a mini football season before the long haul. Off season.
We need to play a game at the end, like a real game.
Well, I know, but that's not a thing yet. But yeah, I would love to welcome in, I don't know, ETSU or something. Actually get a game going.
I just make it like a bowl. Let's play Washington.
Washington?
I just picked it random.
That was really random.
Yeah.
But then it hurts if you lose it.
Why? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but
it doesn't count.
Yeah, but you want to win it.
You'd have a whole.
You got to go into the offseason strong.
You have a whole another few months to reset.
I would have rather lost to Georgia State in a spring game than a real game.
Well, duh. I would have just rather not lost to Georgia State at all. It wasn't in the cards. Speaking of Tennessee football, though, they did announce yesterday that they have hired a new director of football operations.
This replaces Drew Hughes?
Yes.
Okay.
Andrew Warsaw. Yes.
Come on down.
He was with Joe Moorhead at Mississippi State for the last 2 years. And he did a little tweet where he said, "My family and I are thankful for our time in Starkville, blah, 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 blah. With that being said, we couldn't be more excited for our next chapter on Rocky Top at the University of Tennessee. It's an honor to be a part of a program with such rich tradition and the best fan base in the country." Off to a good start there, Andrew. "Can't wait to work for Coach Pruitt and this great staff." He was the NFL's director of game operations in 2016 and 17 before he went to Mississippi State under Moorhead in 18. He also has administrative experience as the director of football operations at Purdue and three seasons as the operations coordinator at Arizona. He was responsible for travel, player personnel, and recruiting logistics. Todd Watson, Tennessee's current director of football operations, is expected to move into a new role. Watson joined the UT staff after serving as director of operations and high school relations for Troy from 2015-17. So is this saying that Watson will move into player personnel and then Warsaw is the director of football operations? Because I guess like Drew it. Hughes was player personnel, was he not?
He was.
Okay. So we're going to move Watson to player personnel, and we got Joe Moorhead's old buddy, Andrew Warsaw.
All right.
So there's that. Man, Pruitt's quick with these hires. He does not drag it out. Pretty good experience list there. Guys in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take it.
I mean, sounds good to me. I don't, you know.
Someone asked Austin Price if this is Drew Hughes' replacement. He said no. I do this often with operations and personnel. They just kind of intertwine with me. So my guess is this Watson guy would get moved to player personnel since he's been there a little bit. Just a guess. Could be wrong. It's not a prediction. Don't hold me to it. Unless it's right. Then I'm Crestronomous again.
Well, 24/7 put out the post-signing day depth chart projections for Tennessee's defense.
Oh, the defense that's going to be better than Alabama's?
Top seven defense, mm-hmm. according to the SP Plus. Top seven.
Ranked above Alabama. Like, just to see that, even if it doesn't happen, is it makes me tingly.
Well, part of that's...
on Valentine's Day.
You know, returning production. How about this for a defensive front three? Aubrey Solomon, Emmett Gooden, Darrell Middleton.
That's a pretty formidable three.
And then how about these guys rotating in? Matthew Butler, Latrell Bumpus, Karat Garland, Greg Emerson, Jaquan Blakely, John Mincy, Savion Williams, Elijah Simmons, Dominic Bailey. And you got Amari Thomas and Reginald Perry coming in. For new Tennessee defensive line coach, Jimmy Brumbaugh.
Brumbaugh. I don't know. I just read it as Brumbaugh, but it could be Bow. Port of God.
Mm-hmm. Goud. Like loud. But with a G.
I got you.
Yeah.
I was making.
Right.
Never mind. Continue.
I mean, that feels pretty solid. Really solid, actually. It doesn't feel like, oh, man, going to just. That's the thing about the 3-4, though. Like, you don't really want your front three to be. I mean, it's great if they're, you know, Haloti Ngata, but it's. You really just need them to eat people, right? Like, just hold. You three do the best job you can to hold up 4 to 5 guys. And then let our linebackers make some plays.
What do they have projected at linebacker? Obviously, Hank T, who.
We're going to start inside? Okay, we'll start inside.
Yeah, start inside.
Hank T, of course. But then they have Quaveris Crouch as the other inside starter.
Mm-hmm. He played a little bit of inside last year. Okay.
That's unfortunate then
if he was projected as a starter, he's going to be out this spring. But
I do feel like you're a little thin in the two deep here, but J.J. Peterson, Solon Page, Aaron Beasley.
Okay.
You are bringing in Bryson Eason and Martavius French, who are pretty highly touted guys, so maybe you can get some freshmen at least ready to rotate in behind those guys. And maybe there's situations where Crouch plays some inside and then still rushes the passer on third down, maybe?
I would think so. They did that with him a lot last year, too, and they also snuck Roman Harrison in a bunch.
Well, I think that's your biggest question on defense. It's outside linebacker. Can you pressure the quarterback? Kevon Bennett and DeAndre Johnson are your projected starters.
I feel like DeAndre Johnson made some plays last year, at least keeping guys inside to where Darrell Middleton could then pound on him a little bit.
He did late. It's like a lot of the guys with defense. Late, he was so much better than early. Like, early, he was awful.
Yeah.
And then they got better. Roman Harris and Jordan Allen, still there's other options to rotate in. And then you got Tyler Barron and Morvan Joseph.
Didn't Roman Harrison have a sack against Indiana? I felt like he's a guy they were really high on. Only a 3-star. I think he might have got bumped to a 4, but that was somebody that they thought, give this guy a little bit of coaching and training.
He got beat up, right, in practice? I think he was a little nicked up, too.
Was he? Okay. Yeah, I think he was hurt. I can't remember what it was. A knee, maybe? Ankle?
I don't remember. But
yes, he's one that I'm going to circle as a – If this defense is really going to be the 7th best or top 10, that's a guy that you're going to need to have a pretty big year. I'm not going to predict 12 sacks for him, but maybe you can get in there.
I mean, how about the corners? Bryce Thompson, Alante Taylor, Sean Schamberger, all back as your starters. Schamberger played the star all last year. Like, mm-hmm. He's going to know that thing inside and out. He tackled better as the year went on in that spot.
I love Schamberger on that cat blitz that they send. Mm-hmm. I mean, Pruitt loves to dial that bad boy up, and it feels like Schamberger's way better at that than he is in covering, you know, a really good slot receiver, so I'm all about it.
Then you still have Baylen Buchanan, Kenneth George Jr., Warren Burrell, and Kenny Solomon all still on the roster corner. I mean, you're deep.
I mean, remember Warren Burrell. Warren Burrell started.
Yeah.
In place of Bryce Thompson. Got picked on a little bit, but you'd think a year bigger, stronger, faster, wiser, that Warren Burrell has a chance to be pretty good. Interested to see where Alante Taylor kind of shakes up, because he had an up and down year. It was down and then up and then down and then whatever.
I'm not really worried about the secondary at all.
I'm not either.
The safeties, Jalen McCullough and Trayvon Flowers, Theo Jackson off the bench, Tyus Fields.
Jalen McCullough.
You got Danico Slaughter coming in.
Oh, yeah, Slaughter.
To compete. Shane LaBruza still on the team. Like,
don't forget Keyshawn Lawrence coming in, too.
They have him listed at corner.
Really?
Yep.
Ooh. If they like him at corner, they must really like him at corner, considering how deep you are there. Seems like that's going to be a lot harder of a spot for your second highest rated player to get on the field than it would be at safety. But I'm also not against it.
I mean, you're loaded with options in the secondary. Now, can you get, you know, two safeties and three corners to elevate to where you are playing in the secondary, like a Georgia, like an Alabama, mm-hmm. like the Florida defense? I mean, that's the big question. It's not going to be a depth problem there anymore. It's going to be is the guy that's starting playing perfectly? Is he playing lights out? And if not, try somebody else, because you got so many. Like, surely, I finally feel like, at least in the secondary, it's what Jeremy Pruitt wants with competition.
Mm-hmm.
You got enough guys to push each other to where whoever's out there on Saturday should be playing lights out.
Really, it feels like that at all levels of the defense.
I don't think it does at linebacker. Like, okay. Linebacker still feels pretty thin. It feels like you can get starters ready. I'm just worried about the rotation. The defensive front, though, does.
I guess I don't know. I Hank T just gives me that soothing feeling of, if he's out there, I don't know that anything really is going to bother me. I mean, and we all know, like, Crouch was a 5-star until he got hurt.
I feel good if those two guys are healthy and running full speed at the inside. It's more the outside I'd stress about.
I feel like, though, in this defense, it seems like outside you rotate so many guys, it's probably going to be more of a specialization type call, depending on who's in and who you're playing against, what's down in distance, situation, that type of thing. I mean, I think as long as you got those two guys in the middle and they're playing well with the defensive line in front, and you said it yesterday, and we said it all season, Tennessee stopped the run against just about everybody, especially the second half of the schedule, or really the second two-thirds, the back two-thirds of the schedule.
If you could just get a surprise at outside linebacker, like if maybe Roman Harrison was a little nicked up and he's just a beast that we just didn't really get to see full potential last year, or Morvan Joseph comes in and can be like the third best guy and he's actually playing 45% of the game type of deal. I mean, he was a 4-star.
Morvan Joseph does look terrifying.
4-star, 6'2", 220 out of Lakeland, Florida. I mean, that's...
See, it just feels like, yeah, maybe you don't feel as good about your top end, but it feels like you've got enough guys to rotate and get guys ready for specific packages.
Tyler Barron, 6'5", 256, you know, right out at Knoxville, 4-star.
He's not – what's he listed as? He's listed as outside linebacker, or is he listed as
– Well, as a recruit, he's listed as a strong side defensive end.
Okay.
So they've got him basically, I guess, as the bigger outside linebacker at Tennessee.
But he will be – the pass rushing Daryl Taylor type go get him guy?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think? This is a good question by David. It's something we haven't really mentioned because it seems inevitable at this point, but it also has not happened. Jeremy Banks coming back. Does Jeremy Banks, if he were to come back, does he play next to Hank T and they slide Crouch to outside for certain situations?
I don't think Banks is good enough to start, first of all.
I mean, he was leading the team in interceptions for a while there, buddy.
I would, based on especially those young guys I just mentioned, as long as you don't need help at outside linebacker, I would have Banks as the first inside guy off the bench. That's just my, like, shot in the dark on what I've seen, the fact that he hasn't been around the team. So I would want Crouch and Hank T on the inside.
I get what you're saying, but let's not forget that he worked at running back all summer until Batuli went out a week before the first game. And that's when Banks, I mean, he only had like a week playing linebacker, and then he was forced to start. So I do wonder, what I say, there's a month until spring practice. You reinstate him before spring? Don't you need him to go through spring practice?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm just saying, at this point, if Banks is going to be back, don't you make sure he's back by spring practice?
I would.
I got a little birdie told me that apparently Banks has been a daily visitor at the Children's Hospital. When he's not riding along with the cops and going and meeting police officers, he's been going to the Children's Hospital to hang out with the kids. Seems like at least he's doing everything he possibly can. They haven't kicked him out of school. Feels like he's going to be back. If you're Jeremy Pruitt, do you just start practicing him and don't even make a big deal about it? Or when you reinstate him because of what happened, do you have to have like a press conference?
No,
and here's what we think.
I think you just start practicing him at your next media availability. You just
asks about it,
or you just kind of start the presser. A lot of times they'll just start the
Banks
presser.
Banks is back.
Yeah,
he did everything we needed him to do. He still has things left to do, but we wanted him to be able to practice.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I think you go from there.
Hey man, works for me. You know how I feel about Jeremy Banks. My question, though,
athletically, those other two guys are just better players. So I think he'd be great as the third guy in. I don't know. I worry about him in coverage too. I think he's a better downhill.
He had two picks.
They were both against Chattanooga.
It doesn't matter.
Interceptions, just in general. I mean,
you said coverage.
Lucky, like it's just not a
right place at the right time. What more do you need in coverage?
I mean,
one of them was a diving catch.
Not even an FBS school.
He also gave up touchdown passes against Georgia State.
Everybody did. It wasn't just him.
I'm pretty sure one of those interceptions, he was in the wrong place at the right time.
But was it really the wrong place if you get an interception?
Yeah.
No. It's a completion if he's not standing there. Maybe he knew he needed to make a mistake to make a big play. That is next level thinking.
He's so counterintuitive. He goes for the quarterback.
He
knows he shouldn't be.
He's got the offensive mind. He's a running back.
Yeah, that's it.
Now, he's probably going to steal carries from Crouch when we go to that goal line and bring in the big boy set. Ooh, both of them? Could you imagine Jeremy Banks at fullback blocking for Crouch? Yeah. Now let's get excited about that because that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Jeremy Banks, he loves to hit people.
Man, you're really trying to sell those shirts, aren't you?
No, I don't even care about that anymore, but you can buy them if you want them.
He's not a starter on this team right now.
He was a starter on this team.
Yeah, when they lost to Georgia State.
I feel like, are you blaming him for that? Like,
I am for the touchdown where he let the tight end just walk out to the flat wide open on third down.
He practiced the position for a week. Tell me you never made a mistake in coverage? You never let somebody leak into the corner for a three when you weren't supposed to?
Well, if it helps you justify it, I blame Jeremy Pruitt more.
Thank you.
Yeah, me too. He should have played J.J. Peterson.
Who? Never heard of her.
JoJo, you know.
Not different JoJo. Speaking of JoJo, I wonder if she's out there. I'll go check.
Yeah, maybe check during the break.
Yeah, they was. Never mind. I'm going to put people's business in the street. And they just let her outside when they go to the gas station and get their big gulps. It's cold out there. I hope she's not outside at all.
I mean, I think it's a good problem to have that I can't find a place for Jeremy Banks to start on defense. That's a really good problem.
Well, he can't go back to running back. We got too many.
That's also true.
What else could he possibly play? Is he tall? How tall is he? 6'2"? Not big enough for tight end. He does have good hands, though. Remember the interceptions I was talking about?
I don't think he's 6'2".
We need a punter.
Wait, we do? No, we don't.
Joe left, right?
We got Paxton Brooks.
Yeah, we need a punter.
Paxton Brooks won the job. What do you mean? Just the guy to compete in practice?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he deserves to be back.
Well, you could bump him to inside linebacker and then let Crouch.
I led with that.
But he's got to be better in coverage.
Can Banks catch?
I just said that too. Are you guys listening? He had two interceptions. He didn't drop them. It's what he does with the ball.
Hold on to the football
for tight end.
He did not. I just said that too.
How's his route running?
Probably good. He did catch a wheel route against West Virginia. 6'1", 225. Not the biggest guy, but who was the?
Well, he's been running from the cops. So you gotta have.
Was it
sharp
angles. Chris Brown? How tall was Chris Brown when he was here? In like 06, 07 under Cutcliffe. He was a shorter tight end, H-back guy. How tall was Chris Brown? He was big, though.
You got a computer in front of you.
Thank you.
6'3", 235.
Okay, so a little shorter, but about as big. Maybe he can play five or six positions.
He really likes to hit people. So.
Banks is 6'1", 225.
That's why I said fullback. I don't know if we're going to do much of that next year, but two-back set. He does love to hit people. I mean, if he loves to hit people, he wants to play offense, and you don't want to give him the ball, just let him go pop some heads. Auburn did that for years. They just took guys who wanted to play running back and linebacker who weren't very good at either and just made them fullbacks. That one year when Ronnie Brown and Cadillac Williams ran all over us, I can't remember that fullback's name for them, but he was unbelievable. I mean, just pushing linebackers 20 yards down the field and crunching people. I feel like Banks could do that. Yeah, man. Reinstate, please.
All right. We'll come back with more. Stick with us. It's hour number two, Friday edition of Three and Out. Final segment, hour number two, Valentine's Day edition of Three and Out. Yeah, in all seriousness, back to the question of linebacker, I'm still more worried about outside linebacker than inside. Inside, I'm only really worried if there's, you know, injuries, but I mean, that you can kind of say about any position. Like, can we get after the passer? Like, it's great that the front seven got better and better against the run last year. But when you play the really best teams, like if you want to have higher expectations, like Jeremy Pruitt said, if you want to say, hey, 8-4 is great, but I want to at least be in games where we could win 9 or 10 games. If you want to get to that level, you're going to have guys that can really disrupt the RPO game on some of these better offenses that can just really, on any third and long situation, make it really, really difficult for the quarterback to have enough time to get the ball downfield and pick up first downs on those plays. And I think that'll be the big question mark.
That's why I love that cat blitz.
Well, when you have a better secondary, you can heat up the quarterback with different, lots of different blitz schemes and bring extra bodies. So that could be a strategy that's the defensive that Ansley and Pruitt go with. If those outside linebackers aren't dynamic enough to just beat the tackles one-on-one. Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to see what they do. Pruitt talked about it first year. Like, we were just hoping to have somebody to put out there that wasn't bad, really. You kind of tell us what he meant.
Yeah. Not even to be good. Just don't go out there and make a bunch of mistakes. Now it feels like you've got a lot of options.
JT had a random thought. How would we feel if we lost to Charlotte but go on to win 10?
I feel like
I just don't think that's possible.
I didn't think 8 was possible when we lost to Georgia State and BYU. I mean, would you take that right now? 10 wins, one of the two losses being to Charlotte? I think I'd take it.
Absolutely, but I just don't see how that's possible.
You're in Atlanta probably at that point, aren't you?
He says we won 8 after losing to Georgia State and BYU last year.
Yeah, I'd sign up for that.
Yeah.
You know, it is Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, everybody's thinking about love and happy thoughts.
Yeah.
What was the most heartbreaking sports memory you can remember? We'll do Tennessee. Tennessee. Most heartbreaking Tennessee sports moment, game, play. Does one stick out above the others? Where you just felt like you had your soul ripped out and stomped on? Where your heart broke into a million pieces?
I mean, for me, it's Antonio Callaway down the sideline.
Oh, that's a good one. That was bad, but then you had a shot at the field goal, and it just kind of a little breeze cost you. I mean, that whole game was just a broken heart repeated record.
I don't know, though. For me,
played achy, breaky heart coming in, so I'm thinking, I wonder which.
All right. There's two different stages for me here. There's before I got into sports media or as I'm doing more NFL and fantasy football stuff. And college football was always just like complete fun, take it or leave it. Didn't have to pay attention if I don't want to. Didn't really matter. And then there was, okay, now that we're going to talk, you know, you and I on the show together, we're, you know, we got to, basically it's going to be Tennessee is the main talking point. If we have to rank kind of our priorities, it's Tennessee, then it's kind of the SEC, then it's like whatever national storylines apply to, you know, Southerners that are like us here, centered around Knoxville, Tennessee, and those issues, those topics. So my level of study, and you know that's how I kind of watch the game. Like, I watch the game like I'm either coaching it, analyzing it, whatever. Like, just heightened so much more from 2015 on.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that was all Butch Jones, even in the good times. And because of the Oklahoma game, when Callaway caught that ball, got the corner, and from the moment where I don't remember I've tried to forget the cornerback's name though, where he started to loaf because he thought the other guy would make the tackle, and then realized, oh crap, and then tried to catch up, and then by that point it was too late. Even though Tennessee had a chance to come back and win that game later, I knew, looking back on it, I felt in that moment, yeah, this ain't it, Chief. Like, we've already choked away the Oklahoma game. You had Florida beaten. And in that moment, as you try to spy the quarterback again when he's not going to run, and one of your veteran corners isn't running as hard as he can against Florida in a key moment that's going to be mentioned 5 years after the fact, or whatever it was, 4 years after the fact. Like, that was it. It's the day the music died. Like, it was over right there. And it was like, we're going to have to reset this whole thing, and maybe we'll have a shot to have a favored team for the SEC East in 10 years from now. And it looks like it might take that long. I mean, there's others.
When they retained Butch Jones after 2016... That broke my heart.
The football moments all kind of blend together for me.
I've got one, and a buddy of mine just texted me the same one that I have. It has been my one, and it will always be my one.
Florida 01?
No. We won that game. Ironically, I did have my Florida buddy text me. He's like, you want to know mine? It's when Travis Stevens ran for 240 and two touchdowns against us in the Swamp and kept us out of the Rose Bowl. It was 2000, the Gaffney pass.
2000, that's what it was, yeah.
That one, I wasn't heartbroken. I was mad because they missed the call. I was furious, but I wasn't heartbroken. You want to know what heartbreak is? It wasn't 2001. We hit a screen pass to Travis Stevens for like 70 yards in the touchdown. We're up. All we got to do is stop Georgia, keep them out of the end zone, because I think we were up by 4 or 5. Leonard Scott's holding the ball on the kickoff because it was a windy day, lifts his finger. The ball starts to fall off the tee. We kick it anyway. It goes 20 yards. And then John Chavis goes prevent D. I think it was Rashad Baker bit early on a pass to the tight end. And I think the ball went between his arms into the tight end's stomach, and he caught it. When they hit the hobnail boot pass to the fullback, I mean, I could. After Steven scored that touchdown, I have never heard that stadium that loud. They chanted "Go Big Orange" in the stadium for like 5 minutes. Everybody, full throat, as loud as it could be. It was the greatest play I've ever seen. And then John Chavis ruined it by going prevent. That team could have gone. I mean, they still had a chance. Obviously, they ended up beating Florida. And if you beat LSU in the SEC championship game, you're going to play for a national title. But that team had every opportunity to be undefeated, should have been undefeated going into that Florida game.
For an entire like game, it was that SEC championship game for me. Like,
yeah.
You beat Florida. What year was that?
'01.
I'm in college.
And what's heartbreaking about that one is you got the lead. Then you knocked out LeBrandon Tofield, their running back. Then you knocked out Rohan Davey. Mm-hmm. I can't remember which one of those came first. So you've knocked out their starting running back, their starting quarterback. All you got to do is keep it together. Then Travis Stevens fumbled. Dante Stallworth fumbled. And you couldn't tackle Matt Mock to save your life, John Chavis.
31-20. I mean, an 8 and
I think you're up 17-7 in that one.
You know, a 3-loss or 2. I'm not sure how many they had at that point. Did they lose their bowl game? Anyway, an LSU team that, I mean, this wasn't like Saban's championship team there. You had to win that game.
No, that was the game that launched it, man. That was
because
welcome to college football, Nick Saban. This guy,
yeah.
I mean, I still don't think there's ever been a team play him twice in a season and beat him. And Tennessee had a chance. I mean, first time
you
played him,
17-10 at halftime. Yes. You're up 17-16 going in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. The first time he played him, Kelly Washington had like 232 yards receiving because Saban refused to double cover him. Dante Stallworth was out, and they were just trying to stop the run. You had Dante Stallworth back for this game. Travis Stevens had just had the game of his life against Florida. You still had Kelly Washington. You had Jason Witten, and you couldn't figure out how to crack the LSU defensive code, which that's what Saban does. Remember what that team did to Michigan in the Outback Bowl? It was a slaughter. An absolute slaughter.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know that anybody would have beaten that 0-1 Miami team.
Right.
But I would have loved to see Tennessee play that 0-1 Miami team. I would have loved to have seen that.
And for one game.
Would have given them a better game than Nebraska.
For a whole game or the way a season ended, that was it. Because I remember when Tennessee beat Florida late in the year, right? That was the makeup hurricane year.
No, it was
September 11th. September 11th year. And there were guys in the dorm room I was in running down the hallways just like Super Mario-ing all those ceiling tiles. So they were just punching them, and they were just break. And just, I mean, it was pandemonium and chaos. And then we saw the players out Wednesday night partying ahead of the SEC championship game. And you're like, huh, I don't know if I'd, you know, stay out till 3 in the morning.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
Ah, they're college kids.
I mean, I don't know. I was like, huh, okay. Well, surely you'll beat LSU, right? It's just LSU.
Yeah, and I think that's what everybody thought. It's like, oh, we weren't even healthy when we beat them the first time. I think like Haynesworth and or Henderson were out. I know they would have been out when we played Florida the first time. Like, we got so much healthier as that season went on. And then you had everybody, Haynesworth, Henderson, Stallworth, Washington, Stevens, who finished second in voting for the Doak Walker Award, and you couldn't beat Nick Saban and LSU before they were Nick Saban and LSU.
Well, like you said, I mean, they're bringing in the backup, nobody quarterback. And he runs on you. Like, you're kidding me?
Well, that was before people ran the quarterback draw like that all the time. I don't think you had even seen that. And you prepared all week for Rohan Davey. I don't remember what they did. I think they, like, broke his ribs or something. Like, he took a big shot. And
wasn't it kind of dirty, too? Wasn't it, like, out of
bounds? No, I don't think so.
It wasn't?
Uh-uh. He was so,
I rewatched this
He was
game,
so
like,
big. The hit,
summer.
The guy just kind of bounces off of him. And then Davey's, like, holding his ribs like, something ain't right. But, yeah, that entire – really, I guess just that fourth quarter, right? Because you had the lead.
Yeah.
Then they went ahead, and we were driving to try to take the lead back, and that's when we hit Stallworth on a slant, and he gets popped from behind. Ball comes out. He fumbled. Oh, my gosh. That was a nightmare game. Someone just tweeted in last year's Sweet 16 loss to Purdue. Yeah, man, that one hurts. Like, if we want to just do basketball football, yeah. that one hurt real bad.
That wasn't as bad as Loyola for me.
See, it was for me because I felt like with Kyle out, I was a little worried about Loyola. Remember, we were down 10 with like 2 minutes to go and came all the way back, and then they hit that 9-times-off-the-rim shot to beat us by one. But last year, that Purdue game, every time Ryan Klein would cock one back for a three, I felt my heart break a little bit because they all went in.
I guess for me, like, if you beat Loyola, like, I don't see how you don't make the Final Four. If we had beaten Purdue, I don't see us beating Virginia. So
I mean, they almost beat Virginia.
They did, but I'm just saying, like, I just feel
I
like
mean, when yeah, you talk was, about teams. It was probably of, Virginia's year, but I don't know, man, because if you beat Purdue with that team, I think it's possible.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
it's going to be a completely
possible,
different game.
But I'm at least able to justify it. Like, everything went right for Virginia. I don't think we would have been the difference for things going wrong for them.
Could have been.
Mm. Nah.
I'm just going to disagree to disagree.
I have a basketball one that trumps that one for me.
Ramar Smith getting blocked. Greg Oden.
No. Twice. No. See, when I think about heartbreak, it means something a little bit stronger to me when I'm there in person than if I'm just watching it on the television.
Mm.
And I was there when Tennessee lost to Mississippi State in the SEC championship.
Yeah.
By when, 3 points down Tampa. Barry Stewart just went off.
I remember thinking, oh my gosh, we're playing Mississippi State for the SEC tournament championship. There's no way we lose this. And then Cam Tatum had a half-court heave to try to tie it, and I just knew it was going in.
J.P. Prince hit a three in the corner. Like, he never did that.
Chris Owens tweets in, says, the Gaffney non-catch. That one, again, just made me furious. I'm constantly reminded, though, that was second down. Florida and Spurrier still had two plays with that receiving core to get it in the end zone. Probably a pretty good
game when he kicked all those field goals.
Exactly. What did Travis Henry have that? He might have been over 200, but every time we'd get to the 20, we'd stall and just kick a field goal. And then was it A.J. Suggs throws a pick six late? And then at that point, it was like all those field goals worthless, and you just gave Florida a touchdown. JP tweets in the Terrence Cody blocked field goal. That's actually a really good one because that team was not particularly good, and you went to Alabama against number one Alabama and played them off of their feet. You got the onside kick. You hit a long pass to Luke Stalker. Crompton throws an absolute dime. Look, he might have just missed the kick anyway, but Cody breaking through, and you hit him in the chest. Then he took his helmet off and should have got flagged for personal foul, and we should have re-kicked, but they didn't call it.
Could that win have kept Kiffin at Tennessee?
Maybe. I mean,
could argue that
maybe
the win against LSU could have kept Dooley at Tennessee for a little while longer.
Okay, that's
you had him beat.
That's a good one too, because at the time, you know, you really wanted Dooley to be the guy.
Yeah.
We lost Kiffin, but this guy talks like us and he's funny and then it was 15 men on the field? That was heartbreaking because you won the game.
Yeah.
You could have had three players on the field and they snap it low and the guy can't, you know, he wouldn't have gotten to it. So yeah, you would have won that game with eight guys on the field, and instead you had 15.
I don't know. Scotty Hobson, Tom Izzo calling the timeout after he makes the first free throw to tie it at 69. And then he comes out and misses. Michigan State goes down, gets fouled. You lose by one to go to the Final Four.
Who was that for Michigan State that hit that shot? I remember Draymond was on that team. We called a timeout to ice Hobson, or Izzo called it?
Izzo called it. Hobson goes the line down, 69-68.
Makes it,
calls timeout, comes out, misses, and they go down and get fouled with 1.8
left. It wasn't a foul.
Final hour, back at you next.